This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. I'm going to read one of Pat Durkin's great columns today, as well as parts of Paul Smith's column in the Milwaukee Journal, published February 26, 2025, titled "Concerns Raised Over Potential Cuts to Federal Fish, Wildlife, and Co-op Programs in Wisconsin." Durkin's column is from February 23rd. He has a website that I highly recommend, Patrick Durkin, D-U-R-K-I-N, Patrick Durkin Outdoors, and I'll tell you a little bit about him. Patrick Durkin of Eau Claire, Wisconsin, is an award-winning outdoor writer, newspaper columnist, and general outdoors reporter. He has been Meat Eaters Wildlife Research Contributor since June of 2018 and writes frequently for National Archery and Hunting magazines. Durkin also provides editing services for books and magazines and served as contributing editor-writer for the Archery Trade Association from September of 01 through January of 2021. Durkin's magazine articles have appeared in American Hunter, Outdoor Life, Bugle, the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, Quality Whitetails, Whitetail Journal, and many other hunting magazines. He served in the U.S. Navy from 1975 through 1980 and earned a journalism degree at the University of Wisconsin-Oshkosh and graduated magna cum laude in December of 1983. He spent the next 8 years working as a sports reporter, education reporter, weekend editor, and outdoors editor at the Oshkosh Northwestern newspaper before beginning his magazine career. His writing is often very moving and very personal, and I highly recommend that you look up Patrick Durkin Outdoors. I'm going to read his column from February 21st. The column is called "Federal Job Cuts Could Derail Conservation's Many Gains." Pat Durkin has a real sense of history, and we all need to have his knowledge here. After living our entire life in the most comfortable society ever created by hard work, sound science, free speech, and hitherto intelligent leadership, it's hard to imagine any other world. Heck, those of us living through the 1960s and early 70s barely recall when kids hunted squirrels and rabbits before hunting white-tailed deer. Deer weren't common, and they were seldom the first game species we ate. But today's abundant fish and wildlife, clean air and water, and stunning public parks, forests, and wildlife refuges are neither accidents nor happy coincidence. Many protected lands didn't exist in 1900, and many resources weren't purified or protected until Americans demanded lawmakers correct things during the Kennedy, Johnson, and Nixon presidencies. Maybe it's because the Democrats and Republicans creating those science-driven laws and programs knew suffering and hardship personally. They endured the Great Depression and World War II and watched helplessly as diseases tortured family and friends until science delivered penicillin to kill infections in 1941 and vaccines to prevent polio in 1955 and measles in 1963. They knew public lands and robust natural resources aren't divine or eternal birthrights. All can be soiled or ruined, and the free market's invisible hand does not breed or protect them. Those gifts require long-term government investments in society's health, spirit, and education. For instance, when unfettered human enterprise helped invasive sea lampreys collapse Great Lakes fisheries by 1950, the government, not profit motive, restored it. The private sector didn't fund the 1951 through 1957 effort in which scientists tested over 6,000 chemicals to find one that selectively kills sea lamprey larvae with little or no harm to other life forms. If the U.S. and Canada hadn't jointly funded that research and didn't still spend $25 million annually on lampricide treatments, our region wouldn't have the tribal, commercial, and recreational fisheries that provide 75,000 jobs and $7 billion in value each year. In fact, a 2013 Southwick and Associates study found our return on investments in conservation funding average 2.4 to 1. And yet we're now witnessing a blitzkrieg upon science-driven federal programs that manage the natural resources we've relied on in the past half century for food, water, and conservation-based recreation. This attack risks our next generation of scientists and technicians through indiscriminate firings of probationary staff at the U.S. Forest Service, which shed 3,475 lost jobs, and the Interior Department, where over 2,300 jobs vanished at the U.S. Geological Survey, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, National Park Service, Bureau of Land Management, and Bureau of Reclamation. Likewise, we risk losing battles against avian influenza and fish and wildlife diseases by cutting federal funding for university and agency research, much of which is done in collaboration with laboratories worldwide. Voters didn't demand those cuts. In fact, 80% of Americans in a Pew Research Center poll in August rated the Park Service positively. Neither was it partisan, with 80% of Democrats and 75% of Republicans liking the National Park Service. Federal agencies provide over 18,000 jobs in Wisconsin, including 1,743 in the Agriculture Department and 742 in the Interior Department. A union representative for the Forest Service told Wisconsin Public Radio that the Shequamigan-Nicolet National Forest fired at least 12 probationary employees. Likewise, the National Park Service office at the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore in Bayfield reported firing several probationary employees. A full accounting of federal job cuts, however, isn't yet available. Let's also note that most probationary employees aren't greenhorns. I know a veteran realty specialist in the Forest Service who's built his resume for 7 years by working low-paying seasonal and temporary jobs without benefits. After being hired full-time and finishing his one-year probation, he had already worked 8 years for the Forest Service, though only 1 year counts towards his pension. Most such federal workers live in rural areas or small communities, and they're neither slackers nor bureaucrats. And though their wages are modest, they faced tough competition for their jobs, and they often needed advanced degrees just to be considered. And once hired, they could only sit silent as lawmakers blamed them while slashing their staffs and budgets. Last week's cut in Shequamigan-Nicolet staff included a 5-member recreation crew. Also cut were 4 of 6 Forest Service staff at the David Obey Northern Great Lakes Visitor Center in Ashland. Such losses could reduce wildfire prevention work, close trails and campgrounds, and reduce or eliminate forest road maintenance. Across the Great Lakes region, the Forest Service and Interior Department also lost biologists, surveyors, engineers, hydrologists, naturalists, archaeologists, hatchery managers, climate change experts, and researchers who study plants, wildlife, and wildfires. Apologists say agency professionals should do more crossover work. But where's their plan? Yes, foresters could teach Elon Musk much about chainsaws, but few of them make competent hydrologists, and few hydrologists are expert biologists or archaeologists. The job cuts will likely delay or scrap timber sales across our national forest. The Shequamigan covers 858,400 acres in Ashland, Bayfield, Sawyer, Price, Taylor, and Vilas counties. The Nicolet covers 661,400 acres in Florence, Forest, Langlade, Oconto, Oneida, and Vilas counties. Rural Northwoods residents already endure low pay and limited job prospects, so why penalize them further by firing a neighbor who coordinates logging contracts? Besides, these DOGE-driven firings lack basic decency. Although many fired workers never receive job evaluations, their termination email included a cut-and-paste lie that hampers unemployment applications. It reads, The agency finds, based on your performance, that you have not demonstrated that your further employment would be in the public interest, unquote. Likewise, experienced federal employees who accepted a deferred resignation were told their jobs lack value. A frequently asked questions, an FAQ, about whether they can seek new work while on deferred resignation status reads, "Absolutely, the way to greater American prosperity is encouraging people to move from lower productivity jobs in the public sector to higher productivity jobs in the private sector," unquote. Such insults align with comments by Russell Vought, the new director of the Office of Management and Budget, who said in 2023, quote, "We want bureaucrats to be traumatically affected. We want them to not want to go to work because they are increasingly viewed as the villains. We want their funding to be shut down so the EPA can't do all of the rules against our energy industry because they have no bandwidth financially to do so," unquote. These crude, humiliating terminations of thousands of skilled natural resource professionals will likely decrease government efficiency and increase justifications to sell public lands. Longtime hunting advocate Randy Newberg, host of the Hunt Talk Radio podcast, has often expressed that fear, quote, "Someday, somehow, they're going to make these lands so impaired and so degraded that the public won't have any problem getting rid of them," unquote. An overreaction? Read again Russell Vought's goal of demonizing public servants to destroy EPA oversight, and then tell Newberg he's crying wolf. Our state and nation made tremendous conservation gains the past 5 decades, but we can still lose them far faster than our parents and grandparents built them. And that's Pat Durkin's column from February 21. You can find many more of his columns at Patrick Durkin Outdoors. I highly recommend you take a look at what he writes. I also wanted to read Paul Smith, who is the outdoor writer for the Milwaukee Journal, writing on the same topic, but much more local impact. The title of his opinion piece is "Concerns Raised Over Potential Cuts to Federal Fish, Wildlife, and Co-op Programs in Wisconsin." Alarms are being raised over potential cuts or elimination of fish, wildlife, and cooperative research programs run in Wisconsin by the U.S. Geological Survey. The possible losses are feared as reductions in the federal workforce have been sweeping through agencies in recent weeks. On February 20th, communication from USGS management indicated a cut of 30% to 50% could be coming to the staff of the agency's cooperative research units, according to multiple people close to the programs. In Wisconsin, the USGS co-op program is partnered with the UW-Madison for wildlife research and UW-Stevens Point for fisheries research. Other members include the Department of Natural Resources and the Wildlife Society. Quote, "Steep cuts could effectively disable the federal partner and cripple the research units," said Chris Ribich, a USGS retiree who led the Madison Research Unit from 1998 to 2022. "It's like a three-legged stool. You need all partners to make it work," unquote. And the reductions could be greater than 50%. The co-op research units, along with the USGS National Wildlife Health Center in Madison, Lake Superior Biological Research Station in Ashland, and Upper Midwest Environmental Sciences Center in La Crosse, are part of the agency's former Biological Resources Division. The facilities conduct research and testing on topics ranging from wildlife, diseases, to invasive species. However important, former functions of the BRD, that's the Biological Resources Division, are targeted for dissolution in Project 2025, the document developed by the Heritage Foundation and intended to serve as a guide for the Trump administration. Project 2025 calls on the president to, quote, abolish the Biological Resources Division of the U.S. Geological Survey, unquote. The USGS has 60 science centers across the nation, About 100 people work at the Madison facility and 80 at the La Crosse location, according to USGS information. Officials at USGS did not immediately respond to a request for information on recent or future job cuts at the agency. But given the Project 2025 edict and the thousands of job losses sustained so far this year at federal agencies ranging from the National Park Service to the IRS, USGS employees in Wisconsin are deeply concerned about their futures, according to former and current colleagues. Quote, these are scientists working to support wildlife health and by proxy protect human health and society, said Rebecca Cole of Madison, who retired in December after working for 31 years as a USGS parasitologist. It's incredibly important and valuable work that is being endangered by these potential cuts, unquote. The USGS National Wildlife Health Center is the only center dedicated to wildlife disease detection, control, and prevention in the United States, according to agency literature. Its mission is to advance wildlife health science for the benefit of animals, humans, and the environment. In one example that has garnered headlines since 2022 for its significant economic and ecological impacts, Cole said the Wisconsin USGS Science Centers have experts working on highly pathogenic avian influenza or bird flu, including looking for emerging strains. Over the past 3 years, HPAI has killed or led to the culling of 166 million domestic birds in the U.S., the largest and most expensive disease outbreak affecting the nation's food supply, according to the Department of Agriculture. Other key USGS wildlife research in Wisconsin includes chronic wasting disease in deer and white nose syndrome in bats. The La Crosse facility is a leader in research on invasive carp, including strategies to block migrations or interrupt spawning of the fish. Quote, these USGS centers are in many cases the leading edge of investigation and awareness, Cole said, and the work informs a wide network, including industries, unquote. The other plank of USGS work in the state, the university research cooperatives, is key to performing applied fish and wildlife work, supporting state agencies, and developing young scientists, said Timothy Van Dielen, professor and chair of the Department of Wildlife Ecology at UW-Madison. The Wildlife Cooperative has been housed at UW-Madison since 1972. Van Dielen said the Wisconsin Cooperative Wildlife Research Unit has been a driver of research on CWD, grassland birds, predators, beavers, grouse, and a host of other wildlife. Quote, it's hard to overstate the importance of the Cooperative Wildlife Research Unit to conservation in Wisconsin, Van Dielen said. But more importantly, the unit has also trained generations of wildlife scientists and managers, including some of the most prominent wildlife professionals in Wisconsin, unquote. The USGS Cooperative Fisheries Research Unit is partnered with the UW-Stevens Point College of Natural Sciences. Its work has included projects on walleyes and lake whitefish. Nationwide in 2024, the USGS had 43 cooperative research units at 44 host universities in 41 states, according to the agency. Each unit supported an average of 31 non-federal positions, including graduate students, postdoctoral researchers, and research technicians, leading to more than 1,000 jobs, according to the USGS. Cole, the retired parasitologist, found the proposed cuts to or elimination of the USGS fish and wildlife programs and research cooperatives incomprehensible. It's like eating your seed corn, Cole said. These programs are so valuable and produce so much more benefit to the nation than they cost. They should continue to be supported, unquote. Two people close to the USGS programs in Wisconsin believe the job cuts are planned no later than March 10. Cole said, although the situation seemed grim, she encouraged her fellow state residents to contact their elected representatives, especially in Congress and the Senate, to let them know how they feel about potential federal job cuts in Wisconsin. And that's the end of Paul Smith's article in the Milwaukee Journal. I hope that you will be motivated to contact your representatives in Washington and ask them, please, work hard to keep these things from happening. This is Maggie Jones and Natural Wonders. Thank you for listening.